Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
The headlines of the newspaper read, "Gunshot Blast Kills Hemingway." It was dated Monday, July 3, 1961. One of my literary heroes lay dead of a self-inflicted wound, bringing his life to a tragic end. Hemingway was a man's man. I admired his style of writing, and I admit I was rather fascinated by the way he seemed to just stare life in the face and then go after it. He wrote about wars, bullfighting, big game hunting, physical adventure, as a man was pitted against his environment, things that were of interest to a young man in his mid-20s. But then he lay dead, apparently the victim of himself, his 12-gauge shotgun lying near his body. He drank too much, he lived too hard, and he never really found the happiness he alluded to in some of his books. I thought of Hemingway as I pondered another man who was successful but not very significant. Actually, about the only thing that he and Ernest Hemingway would have in common is the fact both were successful and searching for what made life worth living. Hemingway apparently gave up on the search and ended his life. The other man found something that gave him new purpose and direction. I'll tell you about him. His name was Nicodemus, and you can read about him in the New Testament, John chapter 3. Now, Nicodemus was successful, all right. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. It meant he had influence and prestige, but he also had an empty heart. Searching for an answer to what life is about, he secretly came to Jesus at night. Frankly, he wanted the cloak of darkness to cover his identity so he could avoid the scorn of people who said, "You are really a fanatic." Unimpressed by his social standing, Jesus cut to the heart of the issue and told him, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus wasn't impressed with his money, his prestige, or his status. In this conversation, Jesus spoke those words which have been so loved and quoted. "For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Nicodemus apparently was touched by what he heard that night. Later, he defended the actions of Jesus, and at Jesus' death sought permission to give him a proper burial at no small personal cost. Scores of people today like Nicodemus, who came to Jesus long ago, and like Ernest Hemingway, who despaired of life, lived successful lives, but not very significant ones. Having set out to reach the pinnacle of success in their given field, they get there, only to discover what they thought would bring happiness leaves them disillusioned, empty, and frustrated. On a later occasion, Jesus said, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Friend, how would you define life? Your own life? Would you say successful or significant? Now, the two terms are not mutually exclusive of each other. To the contrary, a significant life, one of purpose and meaning, takes on a new measure of real success. But scores of people define success only in terms of fame, fortune, power, or achievement, and they miss the significance of making their lives really count. Take time to read John chapter 3. See if perhaps what Jesus told Nicodemus is the solution to your need as well.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.